Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Did you see some of the empty seat pictures from Jerry World?
Yesterday? I didn't really look at that last night. I didn't.
Okay.
Because you know why, Steve? Because I've become what the NFL is worried about, a guy who's just kind of, I was there for a little while, then I moved along.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think there is a definite.
Look at that. Oh, that's before.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, there's nobody there. Yeah.
Okay, but you can also find pictures during the game in which there was not very many. You know, there's a lot of empty seats. This is supposed to be an iconic rivalry in the NFL. Redskins, yeah. Cowboys. Not much of a rivalry as of late. The Redskins are 2-8 their last 10, and we are 6-20 over the last 26 years against the hated, dirty Blue Stars.
Our experience at Jerry World was full house, baby, when we were there.
Yeah, it was. Full house, very festive.
And rocking.
Remember when we went, though? The season was young and vibrant for everyone involved.
It was the last full game
Cowboys
Aaron Rodgers played.
And Aaron Rodgers was upright. So, yeah.
Zeke was on the field.
A full season in the NFL will beat down half of the teams, if not two-thirds of the teams, so that only those teams that are playoff-bound have a realistic shot. Only the teams that are playoff-bound really care anymore. And even some of the ones that are going to sneak into the playoffs, like the Ravens right now. The Ravens are the sixth seed in the AFC. They're not making any grand plans. Even their most diehard fans, and I know a few of them, they're not talking like, this could be our year. Because they know it's not going to be their year. They're not good. They just happen to be the best of the not good teams in a very down year.
Maybe Joe Flacco gets hot again.
Oh, Joe Flacco. Sure, hun. He's going to get hot. Flacco. It's a Baltimore accent.
Hey, did you feel the earthquake yesterday in your region?
Did not.
Okay. All right. Because you had a 4.1 rattling around out there.
Little rattler. Okay. Little East Coast rattler. I watched the game last night with Mike and Janice. Cowboy Mike and lovely Janice, mm-hmm. big Cowboy fans, mm-hmm. because they are some of my dearest friends. And I do enjoy spending time in their nice, quiet, clean, kidless condominium, so tastefully decorated. And it's the holidays, so I was there. And I had already kind of resigned myself that, okay, our team is teetering on the brink, and they may not win this game. And if it goes south, then it goes south. And then basically my job on the radio is to start deconstructing what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins in the offseason.
What is going to happen? What are you going
to
do?
We'll get to that in a second. So anyway, so I was there, and I was just filming a couple short video clips for my Twitter feed just to, you know, give people a live look in. Hey, what's up? It's Cowboy Mike. He's talking crap about, like, the hit that Dak Prescott got hurt on. He's like, that's spearing. That's spearing. I go, what are you talking about? It's a form tackle. Our guy put his chest and his shoulder and his helmet right in Dak Prescott's midsection. It's just that Dak had his hand right in front of his midsection when he pitched the ball on a zone read run. So I'm just taking some videos, and Janice jumped in with her glass of wine. Hey, everybody. And so that got on my Twitter feed, and people were starting to hashtag more Janice.
Yeah. Yes.
Hashtag more Janice.
I don't need to see you and Mike.
Exactly.
Seen enough of that.
Yes. Yeah, so I then did a little 30-second pop with Janice, and she showed off all of her little cowboy tchotchkes. I've got this gnome, and I've got this scarf, and I got this blanket, and I'm like rolling my eyes. It was at that point.
Does
that
it burn
a
your skin
fan,
to touch that?
No.
Does it burn?
No, it doesn't burn.
Like water on the Wicked Witch?
No. So
it didn't burn. It melted.
Well, I'm saying, burn, melt, whatever.
I'm melting. Oh, what a world. What a world.
So it was
Jerry
at this
World.
So it was at this point that someone on Twitter tweeted me, are you just another social media clown? Or do you not realize that our team is melting down in the most important game of the year? What is your job exactly?
Ooh, you hear that, Brian?
It did.
And I said,
kind of treated you like you've treated other sportscasters, like Mike Francesa or Chris Berman? What are you doing?
Yeah. And so I replied back when he asked, what is your job exactly? I said, to enjoy life with friends and to watch the game. And tomorrow, I said, on my radio show, I will go over the game in great detail. Most people had my back and then started to attack the guy, at which time...
I didn't get attacked that much.
Yeah. No, it wasn't you. It was actually, I'll give the guy credit. It was a guy who had his actual name and his actual business and what he did on his Twitter account.
A guy who's
about 1% that anyone has that, you know.
And clearly is invested in the team.
Oh,
watching
yeah.
So, it and just being disgusted by what his team is doing and what he considers the biggest game of the year. This is to keep our season alive against the Cowboys.
He considered the biggest game of the year. From the minute I stepped foot into Mike's house, he's like, this is just preseason 2018. This doesn't mean anything. You're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Let's not kid ourselves. And he wasn't wrong. He also said, now, if we were both 8-2, you wouldn't be here right now. Meaning into the game
right,
that
sure.
even he would not want to be next to his best friend who happened to be rooting for the Redskins.
You're not getting an invite to my house during this game.
Yeah, but because it was a 5-6 versus 5-6 slow boat to nowhere grudge match. Yeah, come on over. We'll have a good time. So anyway, my response, I thought, to the guy was measured and not inflammatory. Just I'm enjoying the game with friends and living life. I'll talk about it tomorrow. He then said, my bad. And I then gently patted him and said, hey, look, man. I understand the frustration. It's another crap year after two decades of meaningless crap years. I get it. And I really did.
Why you're never going to be on ESPN, man.
I know, because I don't get into Twitter feuds. Yeah, I don't have hot takes.
You should have blasted that guy, and he should have fired back with something about you, and then you're screaming at each other. And,
right.
Yeah.
And then I could have pulled the old comedian – heckler nuclear bomb to say, hey, look, I don't come to your place of work and slap a out of your mouth and tell you you're doing it wrong, do I?
Bologna sandwich?
But I didn't, because you know what? I actually thought about it, and I said, you know what? I understand how he feels. He's a Redskin fan. He is so mad at how poorly the team is playing. And here I am just, oh, look at Janice here just joking it up. As if I was Brian on the team, you know? Because in a way, they think that, you know, I'm like, you know, that my takes matter, that my grinding on, we got to get the ball more to Doxson. We got to run the ball more on first. You know, like, that really matters. They want me locked in. They want me giving specific, nuanced game takes on Twitter every, you know, series almost.
That ship has sailed for this
for
season.
Me it has. Yeah, sometimes I do, but there are actual beat reporters that cover the team that do that stuff. And so I defer all that stuff to them. People know where to go to get that, to follow them. I'm there to give you a little flavor, a little snark, a little something. But yes, that's the frustration that exists. And so
does this put Jay Gruden on the hot seat after this performance last night? No.
No. Because.
That's too bad.
Why? You think he's not good?
I don't think he's good.
Okay.
I don't.
And yet you won't advocate firing your own coach.
Oh, what are you talking about? Oh,
okay. Brian won't.
He's been on that wagon.
Brian won't.
Nope.
Brian, stay the course. Nice and steady. I'm satisfied.
Yeah, Jay Gruden has done a pretty good job this year. You got to understand, we have now had 21 different offensive line combinations. We have 17 guys on injured reserve. We lost both our tackles last night. They were already injured to start the game. Morgan Moses had two bad ankles. Trent has a knee that is so bad, I bet doctors are horrified he's even playing football on it right now. He'll be shut down as soon as this morning for the rest of the year. Both those guys started in a game effort to try to, you know, get us through one more week, and both guys got hurt and left the game. We then took our third string tackle, who was playing guard, and moved him to the other side of the line to play right tackle. And then once our left tackle went down, we moved him over to left tackle. Now, you may say, well, it's all offensive line. Wow. How hard can it be? It's,
yeah.
That is insane.
That goes back to the one lineman. And you'll never know.
You'll never know.
Yeah.
Played three different positions last night, and they were going against DeMarcus Lawrence, who leads the NFL in sacks. It was a long night and a rough night protecting Kirk Cousins. And then you had the mistakes like Crowder with the back-to-back. Oops, that's a touchdown. No, it's an interception because of you. Okay, I got the punt here because the defense did a good job and stopped. Oh, no, I fumbled it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry. You overcome all that, and yet still people want to blame Cousins. I gave you a link, Brian, to a piece of audio from the NFL Network that has been widely thrashed from Steve Smith and Marshall Faulk after the game, basically blaming Cousins, not only for the loss, because, you know, if you're going to be a franchise guy, you're going to win that game, but also basically saying that since he wasn't hugging and stroking the soft heads of his receivers for being such unmitigated that he was at fault for not being a leader. Do you have the audio?
We got it.
Go ahead.
Not to mention, story, we talked about it in the pregame as well. Kirk Cousins, do you pay him, do you not?
Right there.
There was blood in the water. The Cowboys were a wounded team coming in, and I'm talking about not just physically, but emotionally. As a quarterback, as a quarterback, you come into games like this and you shred that defense based on what I saw last week against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, a couple
weeks. My God.
But, I mean, he was putting some balls right on the hands of some of his receivers.
Stop
in the
right
first
there. And that's exactly what I said when Crowder dropped that first one that ricocheted into an interception.
Well, Dotson dropped one as well.
They put it right on his hands. That's not Kurt's fault.
I know. Rich Eisen's trying to, you know, slow the roll of Marshall Faulk, who I guarantee you could not chronicle all of the offensive line woes that we have had. Because these guys roll in as stars, and they do the most minimal prep, and then they just start rolling out their takes.
On the first series, they got Washington was ahead of the game in terms of field position battle,
you know,
until that Jamison Crowder punt return.
I agree with that everything
right
that
down.
You are saying. But as a quarterback, when those things are happening, you go to your wide receivers. You don't shake them. You pat them and let them know you have confidence, and let them know I'm coming back to you.
Yeah.
And I was standing on the sideline. I was waiting for that to happen.
Didn't happen.
I never saw him go by his wide receivers and get them a vote of confidence of what we are going.
I vote confidence to you.
To do.
Based off what he's saying, and you want that leadership, I'm going to say it right now. That probably cost them between $10 and $20 million
off
that contract, because he showed that
can
he
you
is
feel
not a true
the heat?
Leader that you demands gotta, that kind of money.
Stop. Hold on.
Can you feel the heat of Steve Smith's
that's
awesome
so stupid.
Take? He has done an instant calculation that one non-act has cost Kirk Cousins $10 to $20 million.
So
that is laughable. That is.
That is so stupid, Steve.
Of course it is.
Because
even the
Steve Smith, not a certified NFL agent.
He didn't go comfort his very, very sensitive receivers who were not doing their jobs. Who didn't do their jobs. They were delinquent in their duties.
But do your job.
Because he didn't go tell him, it's okay, man. I'm coming back to you.
Or if he did tell him in the huddle or somewhere else, it was not observed by the great Marshall Faulk.
So Steve Smith gets all of that and says,
I'm on this now.
That's 10, 20 million.
Well, let me get on my calculator. Yes.
Michael Another Irvin team, on the right? Does he weigh in on this?
The Cleveland Browns are going to go, boy, we were going to offer Kirk Cousins a lot of money, but I don't know. He didn't hug Jamison Crowder. We're going to take a deduction of $10 million. Sorry, Kirk. Best we can do. Hot take city. So dumb.
It can't be up. It's on the NFL Network. I see Rich Eisen. I see a set. I see Mazda logos behind them.
And
they're
yet,
sponsored.
And yet, I guarantee you the following. Let's say after that Crowder drop, Kirk was seen visibly going over, putting his hands on, you know, the head of Crowder and giving him a pat, and then the rest of the game turned out exactly as it did. After the game, I bet those same chuckleheads would say, see, Tom Brady would have yelled at Crowder. Tom Brady would not have put up with that. You've seen Brady get fiery. He knows when to light a fire under his guys. Kirk Cousins, too soft, not a leader. They would. I guarantee it.
Right, coach. Why didn't you do the thing?
That's right.
That was the other thing.
That would have worked
out worked had you done it.
Right.
Right. Well, we're citing that a lot lately.
Well, it's true.
But yes. We're guilty of it, too. We're just as guilty as anybody.
Don't say that. What do you mean I'm guilty?
We've done that where we've second-guessed after games.
Second guessing is one thing, but
okay.
Being hypocritical and shallow, it's just whatever. Kirk Cousins is going to get paid a lot of money by somebody next year.
Do you think he'll be a Redskin next year?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. Really?
So you're going to be out looking for a quarterback over the next six months?
What? No, one's just going to come to us. One's going to come to us and say, we'd love to come play.
I feel bad for him, but I can't.
You act like, Bob, you the way you said that, you make it sound like it's hard to find these guys.
Well,
like, God, we're going to go looking for a quarterback.
Oh, Steve.
That's like saying, today you've got to go find a can of spray paint. Well, I'm just going to go to Home Depot, and there's a whole row of them. Quarterbacks, whatever. Yeah, we're going to get a quarterback.
Colors,
we're going to get a
quarterback. Sizes, different brands.
Bob, we're going to get a quarterback who plays quarterback next year, and it's not going to be a problem. We're not worried about it, okay? They're all over the place. They come out of college.
Don't worry about it.
There's a bunch of current quarterbacks who will be free agents. Some guys sitting at home who haven't played in a while. A lot of guys who know how to throw the ball in the air. Like it's some big, important position. That's me. Using sarcasm. Genius acting. Did Zay really dismiss how hard it is to find a good quarterback? No, he was being sarcastic to make a point.
Yes,
Bob, it looks like
you're gonna be
looks like my team shall tie up our loose belongings into our sack. Affix them to a stick.
Here's what's going to happen.
Hoist it over our shoulder and begin the long walk into the wilderness, saying, making our best quarterback calls. Woo-hoo-hoo! Woo-hoo-hoo! Quarterback! Quarterback! Woo-hoo! And we are going to walk in those woods, Brian.
I don't think that's how you get
it. We are going to walk in those woods looking for the next quarterback as good as Kirk Cousins. For perhaps upwards of 10 or 15 years.
No guarantee.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to walk you through the offseason, Steve.
You draft the best quarterback from college that you can.
And it's automatic.
Teach them your system, and they're great.
They're good to go.
Here's what you're going to do. You are going to, as you put it, let Kirk Cousins go. And you're going to be looking for a quarterback. He is going to land. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this, Steve?
Hold on a second.
About being a woman is that we can bounce.
What's going on there? Okay.
There. Well, yeah.
I sense a hot take coming. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. You're going to turn him loose, and he is going to land in New York City. He is going to be the New York Giants' new quarterback next year. Meanwhile, your team is going to look around and go, well, we've got to do something. We can't start this kid that we drafted, and you are going to run Eli Manning out there.
That's possible.
I know it is.
It's possible.
100% possible right
also,
now.
Also, Kirk for Jimmy Garoppolo could be possible.
Yeah, that's true. That might, yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of things that are possible.
There are a lot of things that are possible.
The playoffs are theoretically possible.
No, they're not.